So I must be a little bit crazy. The others, I usually put the last
Everyone
ones I sent out was
was not a joke.
inspirational videos for chapter
You're not
15.
crazy.
Cloud. Okay, we should be recording all around. Yeah, the last one I sent out was the inspirational videos for chapter 15, I think yesterday, the day before.
I
So
never.
they have the mobile one and the other one, the widescreen. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we are going to start a new video. That's a good picture, Soxie, wasn't it? A new video, paper 138, Training the Kingdom's Messengers. And that starts on page, what? I can hardly read that page, 1538 of the original book, or 138 in the rest of them, 01. So let me advance the slide here. And I can read that. Let me slide this down a little bit here. So I can, whoops, went off. Okay. I guess I can start, keep everything copacetic. Training the Kingdom's Messengers. After preaching the sermon on the kingdom, boy, I can't read any of that tonight for some reason. Let me reading glasses. Maybe that'll help. After preaching the sermon on the kingdom, Jesus called the six apostles together that afternoon and began to disclose his plans for visiting the cities around and about the Sea of Galilee. His brothers James and Jude were very much hurt because they were not called to this conference. Up to this time, they had regarded themselves as belonging to Jesus' inner circle of associates, but Jesus planned to have no close relatives as members of his corps of apostolic directors of the kingdom. This failure to include James and Jude among the chosen few, together with his apparent aloofness from his mother ever since the experience at Cana, was the starting point of an ever-widening gulf between Jesus and his family. This situation continued throughout his public ministry. They very nearly rejected him, and these differences were not fully removed until after his death and resurrection. His mother constantly wavered between the attitude of fluctuating faith and hope and increasing emotions of disappointment, humiliation, and despair. Only Ruth, the youngest, remained unswervingly loyal to her father brother. So they got their feelings hurt because Jesus did not want any of his family to be part of the inner circle of the apostles, right?
Nepotism.
Nepotism, that's correct.
You may have
And
known. He may have known what's going to befall the apostles too later in life. And
yeah,
they
that's true too.
didn't have a nice death.
Yeah, they didn't.
Neither did
You know,
Jude.
and remember, James ended up taking over the church. I believe it was the Philadelphia church, if I remember correctly. But he became head of the church at one time, one of the biggest churches. So I don't know if it was
No,
Philadelphia
the
or
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Was it the Jerusalem church,
Yeah,
Rodney?
because Abner
Yeah, that's
was
right.
a
Abner was the head of the Philadelphia church. That's right. You're right. So it was the Jerusalem church that James eventually took over the as head of. Okay, Diane, would you take this one?
until after the resurrection, Jesus' entire family had very little to do with his ministry. If a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, he is not without understanding, appreciation, save in his own family.
Yeah, it's true in my home too. So, anyway, my brother didn't speak to me for 2 months when he heard I came out with a book, did he? So, with the book. All right, let's keep going. Pam, would you take the next one? Final
Yes.
instructions.
Final instructions. The next day, Sunday, June 23rd, AD 26, Jesus imparted his final instructions to the six. He directed them to go forth two and two to teach the glad tidings of the kingdom. He forbade them to baptize and advised against public preaching. He went on to explain that later He would permit them to preach in public, but that for a season and for many reasons, he desired them to acquire practical experience in dealing personally with their fellow men. Jesus proposed to make their first tour entirely one of personal work. Although this announcement was something of a disappointment to the apostles, still they saw, at least in part, Jesus' reason for thus beginning the proclamation of the kingdom, and they started out in good heart and with confident enthusiasm. He sent them forth by twos, James and John, going to Charissa, Andrew and Peter to Capernaum, while Paul, Philip and Nathaniel went to Tarichia.
Garcia. Okay, so he sent him out two by two to get experience in working with men and women, mostly men, personally. And he did not want them to preach out in public or anything like that because they weren't ready. And it was interesting that he forbade them to baptize. You see that? And it may have been because of the ending work of John. He did not want their work to be confused with John's apostles baptizing, right? And later on, we're going to find out that at one point, John's apostles joined the apostles and they would go out, and John's apostles would baptize, and Jesus's apostles would not baptize. Okay.
Isn't
So.
baptism a symbio sim I'm not sim symbolism and not required at all?
Yes, it is. It's just a symbol of your repentance of your sins. Basically, the whole concept behind baptism is that it washes away your sins and you're born anew. Okay, that's part of what it was for, the remissions of sin. In other words, washing away your sins, showing you're a new person and you start out as a new individual.
But
And that.
as for the Urantia book, it's not a requirement. It's just
It's not a requirement at all.
it's man. It just suits the personality of man.
That's right. It suits the personality of man. And I was baptized in several different faiths down through time. I was telling my wife I was baptized somewhere around 9 or 10 years old. I don't remember. It's been so long. As a Mormon, and I was telling her, I was wondering if. The Mormons keep records of everything. And I can't remember when it was. I was telling her, I was wondering if I could go online and find out when that was, because they have records of everybody that they baptized. So, anyway. Okay. Just curiosity on my part. Gary, would you take the next one?
Before they began this first 2 weeks of service, Jesus announced to them that he desired to or ordained 12 apostles to continue the work of the kingdom after his departure, and authorized each of them to choose one man from among his early converts for membership in the projected core of apostles. John spoke up, asking, "But Master, will these six men come into our midst and share all things equal with us, who have been with you since the Jordan and have heard all your teachings in preparations for this, our first labor for the kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Yes, John, the men you choose shall become one with you, and you will
Us
teach
with us, one
and
with us.
yes, I got
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Did you get it? Yeah, everybody got it. Okay,
Yeah.
and you will teach them all that pertains to the kingdom, even as I have taught you." After thus speaking, Jesus left them.
So he wanted the apostles to have the experience of teaching the six new apostles that were going to join him individually. All right. Rodney.
The six did not separate to go to their work
until they exchanged many words in discussion of Jesus' instruction that each of them should choose a new apostle. Andrew's counsel finally prevailed, and they went forth to their labors. In substance, Andrew said, "The Master is right. We are too few to encompass this work. There is need for more teachers, and the Master has manifested great confidence in us, inasmuch as he has entrusted us with the choosing of these six new apostles." This morning, as they separated to go to their work, there was a bit of concealed depression in each heart. They knew they were going to miss Jesus, and besides their fear and timidity, this is not the way that they had pictured the kingdom of heaven being inaugurated.
So they were pretty afraid then, weren't they? No. They felt like they weren't ready to go on. Okay. It had been arranged that the six were to labor for 2 weeks, after which they were to return to the home of Zebedee for a conference. Meantime, Jesus went over to Nazareth to visit with Joseph and Simon and other members of his family living in that vicinity. Jesus did everything humanly possible consistent with his dedication to the doing of his Father's will to retain the confidence and affection of his family. In this matter, he did his full duty and more. Okay, so he wanted to make sure that he did everything he could to patch up with his family before he started his mission, and didn't work so well. All right, Diane.
While the apostles were out on this mission, Jesus thought much about John, now in prison. It was a great temptation to use his potential powers to release him, but once more, he resigned himself to wait upon the Father's will.
So he really wanted to let John out of prison, but he did not want to go against the Father's will as to what that was supposed to be. And it worked out that it was John's time to go on, right? You know, we got to remember too that this life is so short, and our next life is when our real life really begins. So if it was the Father's will to John go on, it was time for him to pass on and go on to the mansion worlds. He had work waiting on him in the mansion worlds.
But yet, right? That was a tough test
It
for
is.
Jesus, because he was a family
That's
member.
right. That's right. It was. He really wanted to let him go. All right. Pam, would you take the next?
Choosing the Six. The first missionary tour of the Six was eminently successful. They all discovered the great value of direct and personal contact with men. They returned to Jesus more fully realized that, after all, religion is purely and wholly a matter of personal experience. They began to sense how hungry were the common people to hear words of religious comfort and spiritual good cheer. When they assembled about Jesus, they all wanted to talk at once. But Andrew assumed charge, and as he called upon them one by one, they made their formal reports to the Master and presented their nominations for the six new apostles.
Okay, so they gained great experience by going out, and then during that period of time, they all picked an apostle to come in, to bring into the fold, right? All right, Gary, would you take the next one?
Jesus, after each man had presented his selection for the new apostleship, asked all the others to vote upon a nomination. Thus, all six of the new apostles were formally accepted by all of the older six. Then Jesus announced that he would all visit these candidates and give them the call to service.
So they were going to go out and find each one of these men one by one and invite them to join them. All right. Well, this is a little bitty type. Rodney, can you see that okay?
Yes,
To
no
that? Okay.
problem.
All right.
the newly selected apostles were. Number one, Matthew Levi, the customs collector of Capernaum, who had his office just to the east of the city, near the borders of Bithynia. He was selected by Andrew. Two, Thomas Didymus, a fisherman of Tarsicia, and one-time carpenter and stonemason of Gadara. He was selected by Philip. Three, James Alphaeus, a fisherman and farmer of Crissa. He was selected by James Zebedee. Four, Judas Alphaeus, the twin brother of James Alphaeus, also a fisherman, was selected by John Zebedee. Five, Simon Zelotes was a high officer in the patriotic organization of the Zealots, a position which he gave up to join Jesus' apostles.
Hey, I'm just in a Zoom call. Can I call you back in about 7 o'clock my time?
Before joining the Zealots
Okay. Bye-bye.
or Zealots,
Zealots.
Simon, huh?
Zealots.
Zealots.
Zealots, yeah. And it's Simon Zelotes. Yeah, it's
Zelotes.
I don't know why it's pronounced different, but
Okay.
it is so.
Simon had been a merchant. He was selected by Peter. Six, Judas Iscariot was an only son of wealthy Jewish parents living in Jericho. He had become attached to John the Baptist, and his Sadducee parents had disowned him. He was looking for employment in these regions when Jesus's apostles found him, and chiefly because of his experience with finances, Nathanael invited him to join their ranks. Judas Iscariot was the only Judean among the 12 apostles.
Okay, at this point, I want to bring something up that becomes a item of confusion to some people. Judas Alphaeus, which was one of the two Alphaeus twins, they're called the twins more than anything else, is different from Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is the apostle that betrayed Jesus. Okay, not Judas Alphaeus. Okay, and that's important to know. So it was Judas Iscariot that betrayed Jesus, and Judas Alphaeus did not. He was one of the Alphaeus twins. And it's interesting that both of these apostles were picked by the two Zebedee brothers, James and John, right? All right, so they were,
And Roger,
yeah.
also, because the Bible doesn't really, the
Break it down.
scriptures
Right.
don't say James, Alphaeus, and Judas,
Yeah.
but they do call them. James is called Theudas, and Judas is called Libius.
Yeah. Wonder why that
Why,
is.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. I don't, do they even mention that anywhere in the Urantia book that you remember?
Oh
I don't
yes,
even. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
mentioned
Yeah,
later
I
on.
think
I
in the
think at
description
the
of the
Last
apostles.
Supper.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Okay, so that's the other six, right? All right. Jesus spent a full day with the six answering their questions and listening to the details of the report, for they had many interesting and profitable experiences to relate. They now saw the wisdom of the master's plan of sending them out to labor in quiet and personal manner before the launching of their more pretentious public efforts. All right. So I'm gonna get up next to
3, the call of Matthew and Simon. The next day, Jesus and the six went to call upon Matthew, the customs collector. Matthew was awaiting them, having balanced his books and made ready to turn the affairs of his office over to his brother. As they approached the toll house, Andrew stepped forward with Jesus, who, looking into Matthew's face, said, "Follow me." And he arose and went to his house with Jesus and the apostles.
Excuse me. Didn't waste words then, he did that. Just follow me. That was it. And there's a picture of Matthew. All right. Pam, would you take the next?
Matthew told Jesus of the banquet he had arranged for that evening, at least that he wished to give such a dinner to his family and friends if Jesus would approve and consent to be the guest of honor. And Jesus nodded his consent. Peter then took Matthew aside and explained that he had invited one Simon to join the apostles and secured his consent that Simon be also bidden to the feast.
Ready? Gary, would you take this
Okay.
one?
After a noontime luncheon at Matthew's house, they all went with Peter to call upon Simon the Zealot, whom they found at his old place of business, which was now being conducted by his nephew. When Peter led Jesus up to Simon, the master greeted the fiery patriot and only said, "Follow me."
Man, a few words, right? All right, Rodney.
They all returned to Matthew's home, where they talked much about politics and religion, which you're not supposed to do, until the hour of the evening meal. The Levi family had long been engaged in business and tax gathering. Therefore, many of the guests bidden to this banquet by Matthew would have been denominated publicans and sinners by the Pharisees.
Not easily we judge, right? All right. In
Publican
those days,
wasn't
what?
publicans basically described as tax collectors?
Yeah, mostly tax collectors and those people that were involved in the government. And they weren't liked because they had to deal with the Roman government. They were assigned usually by the Roman government. All right. In those days, when a reception banquet of this sort was tendered a prominent individual, it was the custom for all interested persons to linger about the banquet room and to observe the guests that meet and to listen to the conversation and speeches of the men of honor. Accordingly, most of the Capernaum Pharisees were present on this occasion to observe Jesus' conduct at this unusual social gathering. Okay, so they were curious about Jesus. All right.
As
As the
the
dinner
dinner
progressed.
progressed, the joy of the dinner mounted to heights of good cheer, and everybody was having such a splendid time that the onlooking Pharisees began in their hearts to criticize Jesus for his participation in such a light-hearted and carefree affair. Later in the evening, when they were making speeches, one of the more malignant of the Pharisees went so far as to criticize Jesus' conduct to Peter, saying, "How dare you to teach that the man is righteous when he eats with publicans and sinners, and thus lends his presence to such scenes of careless pleasure making?" Peter whispered this criticism to Jesus before this he spoke a parting blessing upon those assembled. When Jesus began to speak, he said, "In coming here tonight to welcome Matthew and Simon to our fellowship, I am glad to witness your lightheartedness and social good cheer. But you should rejoice still more because many of you will find entrance into the coming kingdom of the Spirit, wherein you shall more abundantly enjoy the good things of the kingdom of heaven. And to you who stand about criticizing me in your hearts because I have come to make merry with these friends, let me say that I have come to proclaim joy to the socially downtrodden and spiritually liberty to the moral captives. Need I mind you that they who are whole need a physician, but those who are not, but those who are sick? I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners.
You're muted.
What I said was, those who are whole need not a physician. Diane missed the not. Okay, so those who are already healthy don't need a physician. It's those who are sick that need a physician. And those who are sick, he's talking about those who are sick of heart, right? You know, and struggling spiritually. All right, that's what it all boils down to. Right, so they were criticizing him in their hearts because he was making joy and having a good time and that sort of thing, and they thought that was just awful that he was having a good time with all these people. So, all right, Pam, would you take the next one?
And truly, this was a strange sight in all Jewry, to see a man of righteous character and noble sentiment mingling freely and joyously with the common people, even with an irreligious and pleasure-seeking throng of publicans and reputed sinners. Simon Zealot's desire to make a speech at this gathering in Matthew's house, but Andrew, knowing that Jesus did not want the coming kingdom to become confused with the Zealots movement, prevailed upon him to refrain from making any public remarks.
He saw this group, so he thought this is an opportunity to push his political views a little bit, right? And that's not that what they were there for. All right.
And related to the Clintons.
Yeah. Gary, would you take the next one?
Jesus and the apostles remained that night in Matthew's house. And as the people went to their homes, they spoke of but one thing, the goodness and friendliness of Jesus.
Okay, so he was accepted by everyone that was there, except those that were haughty and wanted to impress everybody else. Rodney, would you take the next one?
Four, the call of the twins. On the morrow, all nine of them went by boat or to Carissa to execute the formal calling of the next two apostles, James and Judas, the twin sons of Alphaeus, the nominees of James and John Zebedee. The fishermen twins were expecting Jesus and his apostles and were therefore awaiting them on the shore. James Zebedee presented the master to the Carissa fishermen, and Jesus, gazing on them, nodded and said, "Follow me."
Wasn't a long speech, was it? Oh, okay. That afternoon, which they spent together, Jesus fully instructed them concerning attendance upon festive gatherings, conducted his remarks by saying, "All men are my brothers. My Father in heaven does not despise any creature of our making. The kingdom of heaven is open to all men and women. No man may close the door of mercy in the face of any hungry soul who may seek to gain an entrance thereto. We will sit at meat with all who desire to hear of the kingdom. As our Father in heaven looks down upon men, they are all alike. Refuse not, therefore, to break bread with Pharisees or sinners, Sadducees or Republicans, Roman or Jew, rich or poor, free or bond, the do door to the kingdom is open for all who desire to know the truth and find God. So he listed out all the different types of people so that his apostles would know right off the bat that all people are equal to God, regardless of your religion, your color, your beliefs, your political leaning, or any of that. You are all welcome in the sight of God. We are all children of God equally, and God is no respecter of persons.
Even transition people.
Even transition people, whether regardless of what you are welcome in the house of God.
That night at a simple supper at the Alpheus home, the twin brothers were received into the apostolic family. Later in the evening, Jesus gave his apostles their first lesson, dealing with the origin, nature, and destiny of unclean spirits, but they could not comprehend the import of what he told them. They found it very easy to love and admire Jesus, but very difficult to understand many of his teachings.
Okay, at this point, we need to pause and explain what he was talking about, don't we? Rodney, tell us what he was talking about there. The
Well,
origin of unclean spirits, you know this.
yeah, what they're just simply rebellious midwayers.
That's right. Rebellious midwayers. There was both the primary and secondary midwayers. Originally, there was 50,000 primary midwayers. And 40,000 of them went into the rebellion. So those primary midwayers went into rebellion caused havoc all the way up to this time, and people called them devils and demons. Now there was the secondary midwayers also, and of the secondary midwayers, 1200 out of the 2000, I think there was 2400 of it. I could be off a little bit, about 2000, but I think about a better than half, about 60% of the secondary midwayers also went into rebellion, and the secondary midwayers caused more problems than the primary midwayers because the secondary midwayers could make themselves visible to human beings, okay? And so these are those beings that people labeled as demons and devils because they would make an appearance, around campfires and houses and all sorts of stuff and cause all sorts of havoc. And this went on up to the day of Pentecost. Okay. And on the day of Pentecost, all the rebel midwayers were taken away in chains to the Father's prison world. Okay.
So, Roger, I've got a question.
Yes.
When they aren't spiritual beings, and when they possessed a weak human being,
Yeah.
how could they move into the body?
Well, the primary midwayers, it was easier for them to do this because they would literally take over the mind of the weak individual. And
No
these are usually,
kidding.
they just take over their mind and make them appear to be controlled by these primary midwayers. And those were the most
No.
guilty of that. Secondary were more accused, you could think of doing things like scratching people and that sort of thing, make them think that they were animals and that sort of thing, because the secondary midwayers were more physical, where the primary midwayers were more of a midway between a fine human and a Marantia being. We get real confused about the midwayers because we think of the midwayers as Marantia type beings. In reality, they weren't. Okay.
Correct.
They were, that's why they called them midwayers. They were in between Marantia and finite. Okay. So that's what they call them midway. They're midway between these two realities. So when you think about them, when they made themselves visible, they were not a spiritual being, and they weren't a Mirantia being, so you couldn't tell really what they were, right? But they had a physical shape to them. We know that this is the case because when back in Dalmatia, when Caligasta discovered that two of the Caligasta 100 created a primary midwayer, he asked all 100 to try the same technique, and that's how they came up with the 50,000 primary midwayer. So they were really the children of the pair of the Caligaster 100. Okay, so they were the primary midwayers. Were every fourth child they had were a primary midwayer. So these beings did not eat food, and they didn't have any, they got their sustenance from totally different source. And so that went along until the rebellion happened, and then 40,000 of them out of the 50 rebelled, a little over 40,000. Now, the secondary midwayers we know are the children of whom? Adam and Eve, right? Actually, they were the children of
Their children.
Adamson and Radha. Yeah, Radha. Right. So they started having children, and I think it was every fourth of their children too that came out as secondary midwayers, just like all the rest of the children, but every fourth child was invisible, and that was the secondary midwayers. Okay, this is a lot of background, but you need to know this because when they start talking about the origin and nature of unclean spirits, these are the spirits that rebelled against God. Okay, and they were around until the day of Pentecost. They were still around. So devil possessions and all this stuff, this is the types of beings that would possess people and cause these problems. And these are the types of beings that Jesus cast out, okay, of these individuals.
So,
So,
Roger,
yeah.
well, what about you said the Caligasti 100, the pairs every fourth child was a midwayer.
Right.
What about the other three physical children? Were
Well,
they the
they
nephew,
were, yeah, no,
the child?
they were normal children, just
Oh.
like but the thing of it is, people don't realize that not only did the Caligasta 100 have children, but their children's children did the same thing. And these are the beings that end up being the Nephilim, right? In the
The
Bible,
what?
the
The what?
Nephilim.
The giants.
Yeah, the giants.
So, would
Because they
that
were
bloodline
8 foot
still
tall, right?
be here?
Pardon me, Rodney?
Would their bloodline still be on Earth?
Yes, they are. They're still mixed in. Now, the Nephilim, there's lots of stories about it and this sort of thing. We know a lot about them because of the Book of Enoch, right? And some of it's just myth and some of it's not, but we have the true story in the Urantia book. But we know that in the Bible it says that these 100, the Caligaster 100, started mating with the females first, okay, of the earth, the barbarians. And so they started having children. And their first children would be pretty huge. They're like giants and things like that. So because they were children of the line of the Caligaster 100. And so their children, and they lived a long time because they had the they were encircuited when this started. Now, when they lost the access to
Tree of life.
tree of life, when they could not have the fruit from the tree of life any longer, then their age started to decrease because the cells in their body wouldn't reconstitute like it did when they had the access to the leaves of the tree of life. Okay. So as each generation they kept having kids, their lives got shorter and shorter and shorter. Okay, over
I ask you a
time.
question, and
Yeah, Gary.
then I gotta
Yeah.
leave.
All right.
In the current day time, we see these videos and stuff of psychic things happening or phenomena. I don't want to,
Yeah.
not say psychic, but phenomena happening,
You know, paranormal things.
But
Yeah.
that's not the midwayers, because Jesus stopped
No.
that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
What
He
is that?
did.
Just the children of psychic, I mean, of spiritual beings having fun or something, or.
No, I don't. There's a lot of speculation from believers in the book and this and those other sort of thing. There's several things this could be, Gary, and I don't know how deep y'all want me to get into this, but most of the paranormal stuff is probably student visitors from other planets.
Okay.
Okay, that would be Marantia beings. Okay. And they would have every reason in the book to, try to mess with us and fool with us, because they're visiting here to see what kind of reactions they get from humans, So probably most of the ghost hunting stuff and that sort of stuff, probably most of that is more than likely Marantia beings that have come to the planet to look around, that everybody's interested in the planet of the cross. And all the barbarians that live on it, right? So most of that is probably that, but there aren't any rebel spirits on the planet any longer. Okay, they have been taken away and changed, with the exception of Caligasta. And we know he was still on the planet at least until 1934, when the revelation was being given. Okay.
I will
Now,
see you all to Tuesday,
okay,
Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay.
Okay, Gary. Have a good
Take
one.
care, Gary.
Good night,
All right.
Gary.
So does that answer everybody's questions about
Yes.
the unclean spirits thing they
Yeah.
were talking he was talking about here? So those were really unclean, so they were rebel spirits. All right. All right, now I forgot who was reading. Does anybody
I
remember?
think Gary read that.
I think you're good.
All right. Well, you're not getting away with just one sentence. So read this one, and you read the next one.
Gary left, though.
Oh, I know. So, Rodney, if you'll take this one, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
After a night of rest, the entire party, now numbering 11, went by boat over to Tricia.
All right. And so, call of Thomas and Judas. I'll go ahead and read this one, Rodney. The call of Thomas and Judas. Thomas the fisherman and Judas the wanderer met Jesus and the apostles at the fisher boat landing at Tarsia. Thomas led the party to his nearby home. Philip now presented Thomas as his nominee for apostleship. And Nathanael presented Judas Iscariot, the Judean. Now he's the one that ends up betraying Jesus. All right. For similar honors, Jesus looked upon Thomas and said, "Thomas, you lack faith. Nevertheless, I will receive you. Follow me." To Judas Iscariot, the master said, Judas, we are all of one flesh, and as I receive you into our midst, I pray that you will always be loyal to your Galilean brethren. Follow me." And this is because he was a Judean and considered himself apart from all the rest of the Jews. Yeah.
Roger,
Yeah.
to be a Judean, was he darker skinned,
He
perhaps?
probably was, Rodney, I would think. It doesn't state that, but I would think he would be of a darker skin than the others. Different background, right? And here's them going over in the boat and all the traveling they did in this paper. All right. Now, Diane.
I was thinking about that. When they had refreshed themselves, Jesus took the 12 apart for a season to pray with them and to instruct them in the nature and work of the Holy Spirit. But again, did they largely fail to comprehend the meaning of those wonderful truths which he endeavored to teach them? One would grasp one point and one would comprehend another, but none of them could encompass the whole of his teaching. Always would they make the mistake of trying to fit Jesus' new gospel into their old forms of religious belief. They could not grasp the idea that Jesus had come to proclaim a new gospel of salvation and to establish a new way of finding God. They did not perceive that he was a new revelation of the Father in heaven.
Okay, so think of how fortunate y'all are to have the book, right?
Oh, this book
Right.
especially, yeah,
Because
really.
all the teachings that Jesus did to them about the Holy Spirit and the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth, and the fact that Jesus came to for the salvation of the universe and not to die for everyone's sin. By the way, person, if you're listening out there that sent me the email yesterday,
Yeah.
I have read the New Testament over and over and over and over and over and over again many times, and my theology is sound. Jesus did not die for your sins. God forgives you for your sins. Jesus was not a sacrificial lamb for the measly sins of the universe. God forgives your sins. And that's the whole point of those three videos that you probably watched a minute and a half of and decided to criticize my theology and act like I'd never read the New Testament. That's not the case at all. So just thought I'd mention
And
that.
which apostle was it that had to bring in that theory or that philosophy of Jesus being a
That was
sacrificial lamb?
Paul. That was
Paul.
Paul the Apostle. Yeah. Self-proclaimed apostle, right? And I blame Peter for that, Pam. I really do, because Peter was the head of the apostles and the head of the church, and he should have put a nixt on that because Jesus never taught that. Okay. And so, when I restated all these points and these Jesus, who, what, when, and where, I knew I was going to ruffle some feathers. Okay. But it's time that we grow up spiritually. It's time that we become spiritual adults and stop believing in fairy tales. And that whole concept that Jesus died for everyone's sin is a myth. It's a fairy tale. Okay. So you want to find out what Jesus's true mission is? You just listen to the Jesus, who, what, when, and where. I point it out. I explain it upwards, downwards, and every which way. So that's something for you to go look for that. Or just look up chapter 15 on the Jesus, who, what, when, and where, the three videos I did for that. And you will get a great explanation of all of that. I'm not going to rework it here tonight. Okay, here we go. Who's next? Pam, I think you're up.
Okay, the next day, Jesus left his 12 apostles quite alone. He wanted them to become acquainted and desired that they be alone to talk over what he had taught them. The master returned for the evening meal, and during the after supper hours, he talked to them about the ministry of seraphim, and some of the apostles comprehended his teaching. They rested for a night and the next day departed by boat to Capernaum.
Okay, so he tried to teach him a little bit of the stuff we have learned in the past about seraphim, even to them, right? Because they didn't have any idea. Right, Rodney, would you take the next?
Okay. 7 p.m. Well, Pam calls her Salome.
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 Yeah.
Always call her Salome. So 7 p.m. Salome. had gone to live with their son David, so that their large home could be turned over to Jesus and his 12 apostles. Here Jesus spent a quiet Sabbath with his chosen messengers. He carefully outlined the plans for proclaiming the kingdom and fully explained the importance of avoiding any clash with the civil authorities, saying, "If the civil rulers are to be rebuked, leave that task to me. See that you make no denunciations of Caesar or his servants." It was the same evening that Judas Iscariot took Jesus aside to inquire why nothing was done to get John out of prison. And Judas was not wholly satisfied with Jesus' attitude.
Notice that Jesus made it very clear that they were not to be involved in the political authorities at all, right? Here, especially here, that they should not denounce Caesar or his servants, any of the people involved with the Roman establishment, because Jesus knew that if they did, they would be arrested and thrown in jail immediately, right? So it would kill their mission to do that. And of course, Judas wanted Jesus to get John out of jail, and that was not the plan for Jesus. Okay, so he was upset about it. All right. A week of intensive training. Let me see how long, that's where we are on this here. Yeah. Don't believe we're going to be able to get through this. So I think we're going to quit here for the night, y'all. So that this breaks us up a little bit better for next time. We might be able to split this paper right in the middle. So let's wait on next time to do this particular paper. Okay, this part of it. So let's say our prayer, and we will just shut it down a little early tonight. There we go. Prayer of acceptance. I think I'll read the prayer of acceptance since it was my reading time. The prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise Father, and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By the same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the Sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, is Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. And any questions about tonight's lesson before we quit? Because we've got a couple minutes. If
no, anybody... good information.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. Yeah.
Always gives information, right? It's always interesting to read how the apostles got to be apostles. And there's another paper coming up that explains all the personality of the apostles. That is really interesting. You know, we'll get to that shortly.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. And to see us and everybody that came up from the outside. We thank you for your support, and we will see you on Thursday, right?
Very good. Thank you, Roger.
Good night, everybody.
You're welcome. Love
good
you guys.
Night.
See you next time.
Night Love again. You. Good night.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.